and make them deny Jesus. Wasn't he a very cruel man? Oh, yes. You wouldn't want to meet Paul when he was Saul. He's a very cruel man. Being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. He would not just persecute them, he chased after them. What a horrible man. But what was in his heart? In the book of Acts 22, he was still giving his testimony in a different place. In verse 3, in a public, he was giving his testimony. And this is what he said, Acts 22, verse 3. I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's laws. Verse 3. And was zealous toward God, as you all are today. Now here's a phrase to see what was in his heart. He says, I was zealous towards God. So what was going on in Paul's heart? Paul was a religious man, no doubt about it. And you know, a religious person who doesn't know God can be a dangerous person. Look at all the what the religious folks are doing, the Muslims. Look at what they believe and what has turned them into, killers of people. And here Paul was religious without God. And he says, I was doing it for God. So when he was taking whatever stones or whatever and is killing someone, he said, this is for you, oh God. King, king, king. When he was taking hold of Christians and calling them to deny Jesus and say, this is for you, oh God. Wow. Everything he did, he thought it was for God. That was in his heart. It was really in his heart. He thought that the Christians are a plague, a disease, a germ, a virus that needs to be eradicated. Oh, religion without God can be dangerous, cruel. You all read about the Inquisition long, long ago? You know, you don't talk about the Jews, don't talk about the Muslims, talk about the Christians who don't have God. They can be as cruel. The Inquisition. You hear the history of the Inquisition. Christians torturing people in the name of God. And you know what some of the instruments they use? Fingernail pluckers, nails to poke people. I don't know how they did it. This, and they want to make sure that the people live a holy life in their mind and must be loyal to the Catholic religion of that time. And so imagine here, they could hang someone upside down in chains, naked, and then they would burn some of these things in fire. And they brand them and say, here, in the name of Jesus. I have no idea how they could put the two together. But a lot of them, some people do that out of sadism, the pleasure to torture people. But Paul, deep in his heart, he thought that the Christians were the devil. That was what was going on in his mind. Christians were the devil, they were a disease, a germ, a virus. And so, how would he treat the devil? Of course, very, very cruelly. And so being a full-blooded Jew who thinks that the Christians are a deviation or cultic, he takes his the whatever instrument he can to get rid of this section of so-called Judaism, this diversion called Christianity at that time, and they had no name for that, they just called it a sect of the Nazarenes. And he did everything he can to punish them, to kill them, to remove them. In his heart, he thought he was serving God. He thought he was serving God. Amazing what people could be thinking when they're doing when they're serving God. What can we learn from that? Simple English saying, the end never justifies the means. But that kind of mistake is repeated over and over again. People justify the methods they use because their motives are right. But the same story always comes. The methods we use must be in line with our heart. Can you imagine the Inquisition? How could any Christians come to the point of view of taking a fingernail plucker or something to pull off people's fingernail and say, are you telling the truth in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name, pull off one fingernail. In Jesus' name, pull off the second fingernail. How could anyone do it in the name of Christ? Because they forgot the question, what would Jesus do? Not whether we're doing it for Jesus, but what would Jesus himself do? And a lot of the times we realize Jesus would not have gone to those methods that many times we would have done. Even today in modern Christianity, sometimes we got to sit back and take a step back and say, would Jesus be doing all that we are doing? And if our answer is no, then we got to re-examine ourselves. Because many times we do things in the name of God. The heart is right, but the methods are wrong. So we realize that to please God, you need the right heart and the right method. Anyway, here for Paul, his heart at that time, blinded as it is, deceived as it is, but he was doing it, he says, for God. To us, we would, how many of us would just don't even pray for his salvation and pray for his death and doom? Most Christians would. But God knows that this person could be used for him if he understood the truth. Because the principle number one was, why did God stop him? We are asking the question, why did God stop him headlong? Because number one, somehow, unbelievable as it is, his heart was right. His heart was right. And so God was going to still do something. Second principle. Paul or Saul was dedicated to God when he was small. That allowed God permission to intervene in his life. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, and Paul recounts the time when he was still in his mother's womb. In the book of Galatians, because Paul recognized that he was a bad man. And let's look at Galatians first. Galatians. And we read in chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. These are some background of Saul. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 13. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure. Again, he recognized all the things that he has done. And tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Verse 15. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Paul traced God's working in his life to when he was in his mother's womb. Now, that's an interesting point of time. Well, let's hear. These chairs are not being used. So here is a chair demarcating the point when Paul was converted, Acts 9. And Paul traces himself back to when he was in his mother's womb. He was still a little fetus in his mother's womb. So he traces to this point. He says, God called him to the ministry even while he was in his mother's womb. Now we know that even before he was in his mother's womb, that way back before the earth or planet was created, in the book of Ephesians 1, God predestined and called all of us, even before we were born or created. That's found in Ephesians chapter 1. You notice that before the foundations of the world, Paul had a revelation, Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 4, Ephesians 1 verse 4. Just as he chose us, that includes himself, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so it says before the whole earth was created, before Adam and Eve existed, God had chosen us. Now, why didn't Paul trace back to the time when God chose him before the foundation of the world? Why must he choose this point of time when he was in his mother's womb? Because something happened when he was in his mother's womb. I believe this was what happened. There must have been a prayer that his mother had prayed to dedicate him to the service of God. As many parents do when they dedicate the children when the children were born. But here, Paul's mother, trace back to Paul's parentage, Paul's mother must have been, as we all know, a devout Jew. And when she was expecting Saul, like many Jewish mothers who are very religious, for example, people like Hannah. Before even Hannah received a child from the Lord, she already dedicated a child to serve God. The child's name was Samuel. So like many Jewish mothers, when she was carrying Saul, she says, this child I dedicate to you. And God hear that prayer. God hear that prayer. Even though that little child grew up as a little strict Pharisee, there was that prayer of the mother that this was dedicated to God. God sometimes takes time to answer prayers, but he does answer them. So the first reason why God went head on with him was because his heart was still thinking about God all the time, wanting to serve God. Secondly, the prayers of dedication that were made in his life still carried him. Now, some of us may be from non-Christian backgrounds and then we came to know the Lord in a conversion experience. Whether it be your parents dedicating you or you dedicate yourself to the Lord, God never forgets that. It is important when we want to serve God to come to a point in our life where we say, God, I dedicate myself to you. To serve you, to love you. God never forgets that. And something opens a door for God to work in your life. So number two was the prayer dedication that was made for Apostle Paul that gave God permission. You know, God, when he wants to intervene in people's life, he needs permission. He needs to respect our free will. And so all these things give him permission to intervene. Number three, also in Galatians chapter 1, verse 14 gives you a clue of the type of person Paul was. Galatians chapter 1 verse 14. I advance in Judaism beyond. Notice the word beyond. Many of my contemporaries in my own nation, And then notice the other word, being more. Notice the word more.